Sequoia's largest fire is all but over. Firefighters have mostly left, and the post-fire makeover begins. This is now a job for the BEAR team. That's the Burn Area Emergency Response Effort. There are a crew of scientists who have been looking at the immediate damage done, assessing the ecological impacts, and crafting plans to repair or mitigate those impacts. Andy Stone is a Forest Service hydrologist. He's coordinating BEAR team activities.
A lot of it was in roadless wilderness, and so it had impacts in areas that can sustain and withstand fire better than other areas. So it was a big fire, but it doesn't necessarily mean it was a bad fire in certain areas. It did a lot of good where we had fuels that needed to be consumed, and so fire plays multiple roles. And so there's certainly good and bad with this one, but it was definitely the largest on the forest, and we're definitely challenged to correct some of the things that it did.
The SQF complex fire was large and destructive, and it did not spare the iconic Sequoia gigantea, the world's largest trees. These monarchs live for several thousand years, and their thick, spongy bark makes them fire-resistant. But fire is also critical to perpetuating the species. Stone says the fire scorched several groves of big trees and burned so hot that it even killed some of the monarchs.
We have a cadre now, a group of specialists who are analyzing the extent of the impacts of the fire, and they're releasing publications almost weekly on our findings, both, on how the biology of the trees were affected to erosion and other watershed impacts to the groves and these sort of things. But we got a lot of work ahead of us over the next few months to really assess the exact extent of the damage to the groves.
The fire's after effects are many. Charred topsoil, devastated vegetation, loss of shade, clogged water courses. Andy Stone describes what happens.
A healthy watershed is like a sponge. When it rains and snows on these watersheds, the vegetation, the trees, the duff layer, the soil, it all absorbs a lot of that water. So even though you have runoff, a lot of it is tempered by the healthy, vegetation inside that watershed. If you burn all that vegetation off, it loses its sponge-like qualities. And now this water just rather than having a trickle, you have a torrent coming out of the watershed.
A loss of topsoil and a torrent of rain could lead to mudslides and floods. To prevent this from happening, the BEAR team is taking immediate action with projects such as mulching, seeding, installation of erosion and water runoff control structures, and building temporary barriers to protect recovering areas. The BEAR team reports that impacts to water quality from ash, sediment, and woody debris will also affect the aquatic habitat for a short time, probably 6 to 9 months, in the Tule and Kern River watersheds. Their investigation did not show any catastrophic effects on animals and plants, pointing out that those species evolved with fire and responded to the threat. The BEAR crew is now racing the clock to clean up hazardous materials from burned structures before the winter rains come. They're also stormproofing roads and trails so they won't be washed away by the first big storms. And they're taking landscape-sized actions like spreading mulch by aircraft to help stabilize the soil. BEAR coordinator Andy Stone explains the treatments they apply changes with every fire.
We learn what works and what doesn't. So, for example, some of the watershed scale treatments don't always work, and they're very, very expensive to employ, and it would be kind of a poor use of taxpayer dollars to spend millions of dollars on something that's ultimately not going to work. So we've learned over the years, over the last 3 or 4 decades, because BEAR has been around a very long time, what works on what type of landscape and what what's the best strategy for treating and mitigating landscapes post-fire.
The final phase of the burned area emergency response is recovery and restoration. The Forest Service will take actions to improve fire-damaged lands that are unlikely to recover naturally. That could include restoring burned habitat, reforestation, monitoring fire effects, and repairing burned infrastructure. Vic Bedoyan reporting for the KPFA News and KFCF Radio.